Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Traction.gg podcast. Joining us today is Rich. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very good, thanks. I'm your host for this one, Tom. And today we are going to be talking about, and you can probably guess this, Formula One 2021, and more specifically, the Breaking Point Story Mode. Today is when the reviews are live. So on the Traction.gg website right now is a full in-depth review and on the YouTube channel as well. But we're just going to take this time in this podcast to talk about the story mode. So a slight warning at the start, there might be some mild spoilers, but if there's something big, we will flag it.
Yeah.
So without further ado, this is a brand new feature for this year's game, and it's quite a big thing. A lot of the PR and hype has been about Breaking Point. So, Rich, would you be able to briefly explain what it is?
Of course. So Breaking Point is a narrative story. It's not like the career mode where you just join a team and do a season or do my team where you create your own. This is a narrative linear story where you play as Aidan Jackson, who is an up-and-coming F1 star, having just won the F2 championship, which is where the game actually, where this mode actually opens, and you see yourself paired up with a veteran of the sport, Cass Ackerman, and you work through two seasons of F1 together, and also Devon Butler from F1 2019 comes back and does his usual thing of just making things difficult for everyone. So
he's a right idiot. For want of a better
for a clean word, yeah.
Yeah, but that's kind of what his stick is.
Yeah.
And you kind of need that. Before we jump into, I guess, story specifics or how it plays and stuff, expanding upon that, if you've ever played FIFA The Journey or Madden's Long Shot or even the NBA basketball games, these are like yearly sports franchises that have these sort of story feature modes alongside the more sort of managerial aspects. And so Formula One has sort of taken a leaf out of those books, I think.
Yeah.
But interestingly, just to be clear, you know, your regular driver career and the new for 2020, my team mode, still exist. So basically, in my opinion, once you play through Breaking Point, you dip into the other things.
Yeah.
And for me, this is sort of the first thing I think you should play in the game. I don't know if you agree with that, Rich.
Absolutely. It's because it gives you little bite-sized chunks, especially if you're new to playing an F1 game specifically, or you've just been away from racing for a long time. A lot of people I know got into F1 over lockdown by watching Drive to Survive on Netflix, so this might be their first title to pick up. And Breaking Point's a great point to start, because you're not thrown into the deep end from the word go. You are easily led into how things work over the course, and you get thrown each and every thing that could happen to you during a race over the course of the campaign. So it is a good place to start, definitely.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's a really sort of accessible way of getting into the game, especially if you've never played the F1 games before. For me, because I've played every single one ever, I think, and reviewed most of them, I'm really into the nuances of each game. But I understand that F1 is such a big franchise, and especially now with EA's marketing clout, because this is the first game by Codemasters under EA's stewardship, that there might be new players getting into the Formula One game who've never played them before, and it is quite overwhelming. But this is a nice, like, oh, here we go, I'm going to hook you in with the story. And as you say there, if you've watched Netflix, then think of that sort of dramaticism in a video game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so let's just break it down sort of how it works on a basic level. So I think there are some cutscenes and some gameplay elements, but there are other things within the mode that join it together. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah, so you have your gameplay, as you'd expect. It's a video game. You have your cutscenes that introduce all the characters and link up all the events of this, events of the seasons you play through. But it also has a lot of contextualizing in the form of being in your room in the paddock, where you have access to your social media, you have access to your emails, you get phone calls coming in. So you are plunged right into the middle of that living world of F1, because the actual gameplay you see is on the track and you're just driving in circles, basically. But Breaking Point gives you so much more context and so much more scope than what you might expect. And it took me aback when it first gave me my phone and said, here you go, have a scroll through Twitter.
Yeah, that was a real moment for me. So you're sort of in this room. I guess it's like your sort of trailer or something. I'm not too sure. There's a TV on there, and it has like relevant news headlines to what's happening in the current story at the time. And then there's your phone with a fake Twitter feed. But if you're an F1 fan, there's some really cool details in there. So there's like, obviously everything's fictional, but there's F1 journalists, F1 commentators. So you've got Jonathan Nobles in there, I think. There's David Croft, David Coulthard, Natalie Pinkman. There's also some of the Codemasters characters in there. So the interviewer character, she's on the feed. And so is, and this is first mild spoiler-ish, but it's not really, so stick with us. Lucas Weber fans from F1 2019, Devin Butler's returned, but he's also returned in the form of some tweets, which is kind of cool. So he was a driver in F1 2019, and he's there in some tweets. He's doing some stuff, which is quite interesting. And then obviously there are emails as well, and you get those from different characters in the story. So do you want to touch upon some of the other characters? I think there's Zoe and Brian, for example.
Yes. So in the space of what we could show in the YouTube video that came out last week, our preview, you only really introduced to Aiden Jackson, who's your player character, Cass Ackerman, who's his teammate, and also Devin Butler, who's, you know, being a poop stirrer, which is what he does. But you're also introduced, after that point, you're introduced to Brian Doyle, who is a liaison in the team. He's basically your person you go to, who, because you don't actually interact with the principal of the team you choose. You interact with this fictional character, but you also have Zoe Ackerman, Cass's wife, who again contextualizes Cass's character as being this colder, more at times brooding character, but there is that humanity that's pushed across by Zoe. So they're a bit more relevant later on in the storyline, but you do get some really well fleshed out and very well performed characters.
Yeah, and speaking of that, obviously it's a video game. You are aware of that. You know, I wouldn't expect it going in there saying this is Oscar-worthy performances.
No,
but they are relatable.
Yeah,
and you do get hooked in there. Part of that is the contextualizing, as you mentioned, of the sideshow, which really everything, even though small, feeds into that particular storyline, which is amazing attention to detail. But yeah, the characters are relatable, and you either you hate Devin Butler, but that's good. At least it provokes an emotion, which is more than what can be said for something like Fast and Furious 9. This game has a much better plot than that film, in my opinion. And so it really doesn't have to be that good. It would have been just nice to play along. Oh, this little story, brilliant. But actually, I think there's an extra level.
Yeah, I think in the world of annual release games with story modes, you never really think much of them. You think they might be a bit slapdash and, yeah, I'll play through it and I won't really think much about it. But Breaking Point is, as someone who's been playing Call of Duty for many years, and I don't expect much of their campaigns, especially now, this one genuinely took me by surprise as to, not that it's going to be like, as you say, like an Oscar worthy, like we're going to have all the actors getting nominated for Game Awards later this year for their performances, but it was a lot, I wouldn't say necessarily better, but there was a lot more to it than I was initially expecting. And that's one of the reasons why Breaking Point is so worth your time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, which is slightly dull for a podcast, really. We need an argument, don't we? Is that what we're supposed to be doing? Yeah, so let's just switch it up from sort of setting out how it kind of works to some of the on-track escapades, so to speak. I really enjoyed some of the setups. So a lot of the time you're not playing a full race, although there are some of those.
Yeah.
But it's like, here's a scenario, have at it. You need to hit this certain objective. Were there any that you know, stick in your mind?
For me, I'm not going to spoil anything like narratively, but in terms of the things that can potentially happen to you, because in the early game, it's just like go and catch up to your teammates or just finish the race or do some finishing the points, for example.
Yep.
But later on, it starts throwing curveballs at you. So at one point, for example, you start mid-race with a flat tire and you need to go straight into the pits and you've fallen back and you need to, you know, claw your way back up through the field. And another time, it turns out your seventh gear's gone and you end up being on the track and having to deal with not only your objective of I think it might have just been finished the race. It didn't throw too much at you, but you did have to change up how you actually thought about playing, especially if you play with manual gears. If you're playing with automatic, it doesn't really matter to you. I don't know whether that objective might change or something if you're playing with automatic gearing, but you lose a gear and you have to change up what you do to accommodate for that. And I think that specific instance of losing a gear was when I thought, oh, okay, this is going to be really interesting, because after playing a lot of 2020, I'd never had anything like that happen. So having that curveball get thrown my way was really cool.
Yeah, actually, those two interesting examples. I'm just trying to remember what happened to me when I was playing them. I think when I lost a gear, I was using manual ERS. I was saving it all for when that gear change goes and you lose a bit of speed because it shifts up an extra cog. I was like, right, trying to bridge that gap with some electricity.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was a good or bad thing to do. And then the other thing was, with the puncher, did you get a speeding penalty in the pit lane? Because it was really difficult to slow down for me, and I straight away just went up, flying straight past the...
I'm still sort of weaning my way off the assists, and the pit limiter is one I should really turn off, because I don't know why I have it switched on in F1, because I don't have it switched on anything else, but I do in F1. So.
It turns out, when you slow down with a puncher on the front right, you don't really slow down. So the normal braking marker, oops. So I did have to restart that particular thing, because then on that one, I think I had to finish in the top 10 still after the pit stop. And so to be clear, if you do fail, you can still use rewind or flashback, and you can restart the scenario without having to rewatch the cutscenes and stuff. Although you can rewatch cutscenes from a menu in your home area if you so wish, which I didn't do, to be honest.
I dug through those menus. At one point, Brian rang me, and I managed to hit square instead of triangle, and just declined his call. And I'm like, I hit triangle instead of square. I was like, oh my god, Brian, I'm so sorry. And I thought he might ring back, and the phone started ringing again. It was somebody else, and I was like, no, I want to speak to Brian. I've just pied him off, and I feel really bad. But he didn't come back. Thankfully, he didn't tell me off later on for ignoring his calls.
Yeah, you've missed a crucial part of the story there with the phone call that you'll never get back.
But again, like those sections in that home area, they're not necessarily little things that you miss and things won't make sense. They are all just extra bits of world building, basically. So even the phone calls, they can give you a bit of idea as to how somebody's feeling if, you know, something happens on the track and you get a phone call of whoever saying, you know, what was that? Or that was really good or something. It gives you a bit of a emotional context, but in the grand scheme of the narrative, they're not all that important. It's kind of like going and digging through the computers in the Fallout games for more lore. It's kind of that same sort of thing.
Finding a comic in The Last of Us. You're right. It's optional, but I would recommend it. And I did every little bit of it.
Yes, same.
It felt more impactful when other stuff happens, when you know what's going on. And speaking of, going away from the gameplay, I guess, again, of these little details, you know, in the driver career, and in the F1 games for a while, there have been post-race and session interviews.
Yes.
And you've had, like, multiple options to answer them, and that affects the morale of certain parts departments and or your stature within the F1 circus, right?
Yeah.
Now, in Breaking Point, they're there, but your driver actually speaks out a response.
That did surprise me first did it, because I was so used to just pressing a direction and then it's the next question. So when they talk, it's quite cool. But on the flip side of that, it doesn't change anything.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly what I was going to say. So it's like the first few times I did it, I was like, oh, this is so much better. Yeah, richer experience. And then I'm like, I'm not upgrading any parts, and I'm not trying to buy a different driver, and so I don't have to worry about what I'm saying so much.
Like I could be here and be really, really rude to people, but I still didn't. Even later on, when I knew that it didn't affect anything, I was still being really nice. So
that's exactly what I did.
Just me.
Well, I think a part of it is I've been programmed to do that for the last few years with the F1 games. Oh, I want to keep all the part departments happy. I'll just be sort of in the middle.
I don't want to be a mirror of Devon. Like, please.
Yeah. But I suppose that also shows that you care for the characters at that point.
You do, yeah. With the amount, as we said, like the amount of time you get with those characters, the amount of time they are fully acted, you don't get a huge amount in the grand scheme of things, but you do care for these characters in the same way that you know, you could have a one episode of Drive to Survive with one specific driver. By the end of it, you know their life story and you care about them. They managed to do the same thing here.
Yeah, and another example that's come to mind of this extra depth, which I cared about, was I'm never the hugest, biggest fan of Jeff, your in-game race engineer.
Yeah.
I remember back in the when they first introduced him, I feel like there was an F1 game, someone might correct me if I'm wrong, where you could only activate him with your voice. And then it wasn't until the next year where you could do like on the menu within the sub menu while you're racing.
Yeah.
And he's always been a bit robotic, but in this mode, first of all, he's got a surname now. He's got Jeff Nelson, which blew me away. And second of all, when he does the pre-race thing or mid-race updates via the team radio, it's completely different to previous things you've heard from him. It's about that actual challenge that you're doing, and the driver can sometimes talk back to him.
Yeah, there are points when you hear almost like emotion from Jeff. He's not necessarily robotic, but he's always got this sort of this upbeat charm about him that he's always had. But there are just moments when you can hear like elation or defeat in his voice, right. And it's so different.
Yeah, so we can confirm Jeff is a human being in F1 21 for the first time, which is surprising, and also for the first time, apart from when they first introduced him, I actually watched the post race. David Croft and Davidson podium bit up after that when they've got the team managers on the pit wall doing something.
Yeah,
I normally after a while skip through those, but now when they talk, it's about your character.
Yeah, they're sort of like, oh, here's the podium that's just Mercedes and Red Bull, and then it's like, let's talk about, you know, whichever team you picked,
right?
Because that seems to be the most interesting thing going on here, not the fact that, you know, Lewis Hamilton's won another Grand Prix. Let's talk about AlphaTauri, or which team did you pick for your playthrough, Tom?
Yeah, so I went with, so to be clear, I think you can choose from five teams, and they're all sort of in the midfield, right? So there's no like Mercedes or Ferrari, which I think is rather convenient for a future follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
But I chose, I keep wanting to call them Force India, Racing Point.
Yeah.
And I chose that because it was, you get to see that the change of team. So the career is across the three years in effect. Sorry, the breaking point is across 3 years. And obviously Racing Point changed to Aston Martin. How about you?
I was AlphaTauri.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. So you get the change of livery, which is cool.
Yeah. And I get the white wheel rims, which is why I picked them. Yeah. And also the old Honda engine. So
now the Honda engine does sound really good.
It does, yeah. And I knew that come 2021's season, it was like right now, now this is pod racing. But also because based on which team you pick, Devin gets put into a specific team as well.
Yeah, you did pick up on this in your preview.
Yeah, so they pre-rendered all the cutscenes that are pre-rendered. Obviously, based on which team you pick. There is a specific team that Devin will end up in, because otherwise if it was randomized, they'd have to re-render all of those cutscenes, you know, X amount of times to make up for all of the variables it could be. So for me, when I'm in an AlphaTauri, he was in a Haas. And you know,
I think that's
not to put any a big downer on their season so far, but it's like if I wanted Devin Butler to be in any car this year, it'd be a Haas. So
yeah,
that felt pretty good.
Without spoiling things too much, in the final year, that's a bit...
It's a bit strange, isn't it?
Bit strange.
When it gets towards the end of the season, it's like, it's even weirder if he was in like a Williams or something. It's just, there's something, you can definitely tell that it almost, they distanced their 2020 and 2021 season to not feel like it's the season we're currently in.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that you've got at least three different names on the grid, like, for example, you know, when it came to the 2021 part of the campaign, you know, Pierre Gasly and Yuki Tsunoda were eradicated off the face of the earth, as was Mazepin, because they were being replaced by fictional characters in this story mode. So it definitely differentiated it from the season we're currently amidst in real life.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the constant stream of dire climate news? Turn that concern into action. Tune in to the Climate Confident podcast every Wednesday morning when I bring you good news and real solutions from the front lines of climate action. Whether you're in business, tech, or just passionate about sustainability, the Climate Confident podcast is your weekly dose of optimism and inspiration. Subscribe to Climate Confident on your favorite podcast platform and start your Wednesday with hope and actionable insights.
Speaking of differentiation then, and I suppose, and distancing from the actual 2021 season, there's a couple of, like, we really enjoyed it, I think, but
yes,
there's a few sort of less than ideal elements, but it's their first attempt.
Yes.
And for me, it was, you get to the 2020 F1 season, you know, it's all the cars and drivers, and one of the races is at China. And I just felt that that was kind of a bit odd, because that race didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so then now I'm trying to relive a race that didn't happen a year ago. It was just like,
yeah,
maybe I'm being a bit wrong there, but that just felt slightly off, but it didn't bother me because the racing and the story was good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it does make it feel like it's a mirror universe that, you know, none of the pandemic happened and everything's going on as normal, which would make sense for Breaking Point being a fictionalized reality. But you are right. There is a part of me that kind of, I remember saying this before we saw much of 2021 as to whether they would actually lean into the fact that we had no crowds and, you know, the drivers, when they were in their cars, they were wearing masks and stuff. As much as I know that people won't want to look back at this time and remember it in any sort, any way, shape or form, there's a part of me that would want to have that reality of the season being contextualized in the game.
Yeah, but it's also like when you get to 2021 and the first race is Australia, and it's like,
but it wasn't. Yeah.
And yeah, just outside of Breaking Point, you're still in the career. You can do a custom
you can always
calendar, but you can't have duplicate races, which is a bit weird still. But anyway.
Oh, so you can double Austria?
Nope.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. So if you did the real season start, I believe they're going to take into account points that did happen in these double duplicate races. But if you're just in your regular career, unfortunately not. But I digress. Another weird thing I thought was when you first start playing, the objectives aren't so clear. And I think you had a similar complaint, but pick up on that.
The way that it gives you a little title when you move into a gameplay section, it's letterboxed visually to make it clear that you're not the one in control. It may be visual gameplay and exactly how it looks when you start playing, but it makes it clear that you're not in control yet. And it says, like, Australian Grand Prix, 7 laps to go. So it straight away tells you what you're doing, or at least where you are. And then the objective comes up after you've been given control back and you're heading into your first corner with you in control. And then on the side, it's like, oh, this is what you need to do, by the way. So the first time I played Breaking Point, I got to Australia and you meant to catch up with Ackerman, who's like, you know, 3 or 4 places ahead of you. And I didn't even know that, because I hadn't spotted it come up on the side of the screen, because I was too busy focusing on the fact that you see the lights go out on your HUD and then you're in control. And after having a terrible time with the F2 car, which felt like the tires were smothered in butter, I was like, right, I need to focus on making sure I don't bin my AlphaTauri on the first turn I get. So I didn't spot the objective. So I'd have quite liked that to have been present after they show you where you are, right in the middle of the screen, to say, this is what you need to do, off you go. Because if you miss out on the sidebar, if you pause it, you can see your objective, which you might not realize in the first place, but I did not realize, so I failed. I got like 4 laps down. It was like, you didn't do it. I was like, do what? What was I supposed to do?
I had the same thing with it should be noted that the Breaking Point is across 3 seasons, right? F2 2019.
Two and a bit. Yeah.
And F1 21. But as you say there, the F2 thing is just one challenge. Like, it's over in a flash. And I missed the objective being on the screen. And I did the whole thing until right at the end. And it was like, oh, you failed. I think you're supposed to win that race. And it does say in the pause and the little thing, once you know it's there, it's fine. But it's like,
it could have been more clear.
And the other weird thing is like, is the lip sync for me, or the way the characters' mouths move in the cutscenes.
Yeah.
Not game breaking, but it's slightly weird.
They did. Like, they have had mocap. And you go through the credits, they did have motion capture involved. And with the actual full body movement, it's really good. There are some moments where the lip syncing is great. I think Cass Ackerman's like entire presentation is basically bang on. Same with Brian Doyle, but people like Aiden Jackson and Zoe's
and
also
weird.
The interviewer, the Scottish woman, Claire. Ah. Is it Claire?
Claire, yes, correct, Claire.
Yeah. There's one scene right at the beginning when she's in one of the pre-rendered cutscenes, and her facial features and stuff are just really, really wrong. As you say, it's nothing game-breaking, but we've seen so much better from games that are way older, I will always cite Half-Life 2 from 2004 for having lip syncing that is leaps and bounds ahead of some games even now. So that's, you know, it's not game breaking. The fact that it's pre-rendered means it's not exactly easy to fix, but something to keep in mind come next year.
Yeah, I don't know how it works, really. Maybe it's to do with... I noticed when you get to the end of Breaking Point, there's the big credits, and it's all these different languages, and are they trying to make the lips sort of read in different... I'm not sure. They probably would have to change those.
But I mean, they might do. I'm not sure. We'll have to, like, change the language and see if it changes everything in the game.
Yeah, true. We'll have to check that. But I'll give them a benefit of the doubt for now. And I suppose it is, you know, primarily a racing game.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but the fact that there is a level of quality that is good, and they could absolutely improve on that and make it really good. Yeah. Then,
absolutely. Oh, no, I agree. And one thing that was a bit weird for me was Kasper Ackermann is supposed to be Dutch, but to me he sounds Danish, and sometimes slightly Brummy.
Yeah, he did. His accent was a bit strange.
It's definitely.
I feel like I'm convinced that when I did Attraction News, where I mentioned the new characters, and I swear that this might be me remembering wrong. I feel like I said he was Italian because I must have read something and thought he was Italian or something. But
he's definitely not Italian.
No,
neither does he sound Dutch, which is what
there was an occasional twang, and he did kind of sound a bit Brummy at times.
It does, especially at the start. But he's still a really interesting character. He's playing the hard to get character.
I think his performance is the best out of all of them.
I would agree with that. I was going to ask if you've got a best character, and we agree on that as well. Because to me, towards the end, Aiden Jackson gets just a little bit too wet behind the ears, a little bit too innocent. Whereas Casper's like, nah, I'm cold as ice, but I'm also in the background. Both characters have these sort of troubles that they're dealing with.
Yeah,
and it really dives into that, which is really part of the reason why it's so engrossing, I think.
Yeah.
So overall, did you enjoy Breaking Point?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, it surprised me with how much I enjoyed it, and I'm absolutely dying to see where things go from here, and I really hope it's continued next year.
That's kind of the thing, because once you've finished it, and you're like, oh, 12 months, eh?
if you pick a different team, it just changes the context, and they obviously recorded various lines of dialogue with the characters and with Crofty and whatever, but it doesn't really change anything. It's one of the things that after I played it through that I wish it had branching storylines.
Yeah, so yes, to be clear, it is a very linear path. It doesn't have branching storylines, which again is fine.
Because it is good.
You start thinking like, ooh, yeah, but then if I made a different choice in an interview question, where would that lead my career or something? But the amount of work that needs to go into that would be...
Yeah. Maybe that's something that they need to see how well it's received and how many people play it. They can look at, say, achievement statistics and see how many people play Breaking Point. And, you know, it's not a mode that's going to take, you know, tons of hours to beat. I can't really think about how many hours I put into it because our copy is a bit all over the place because there's all sorts we've been doing over the last couple of days.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, for me, I captured my playthrough, which was across a few days, and the total time for the videos was 5 hours and 40 minutes, and that
sounds about right. Yes,
now, exactly. I did read tweets and emails and stuff, but I certainly didn't spend a long time desperately reading every single tweet or rereading every email. And an element of that is obviously the gameplay, and there are a few races. When I say full races, they're like 18 laps,
25% races. Yeah.
With a pit stop and stuff.
And
in total, there are 24 cinematics, if you like, numbers. So the sort of cutscenes, quote unquote, which are really well detailed and quite lengthy.
Yeah, they're very well done. There is room for improvement, but the initial offering they've had for something like this has been, I would say, spectacular, honestly.
Mm. And when I was speaking to Lee Mather, the game director, he was saying how it sounded like they essentially started work in 2019 because that game had a very little bit of F2 story, which lasted half an hour max, and then that was it. The story didn't go any further. So they almost, based on the feedback, people wanted more, so they split the team and had a team working on this for, in effect, I think 18 months to 24 months.
Wow.
So then I'm thinking, ooh, can they do another one for next year like this? I'm not sure. But then part of me made me think, well, oh, they've got China and Australia in the calendar, so maybe the bulk of the story and stuff was written a while ago, and that team could be already working on the next one. prospect.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, if they've got the basic framework in of, you know, what Breaking Point is and how it works and their means of doing mocap and cutscenes and stuff, then they can just, I mean, I'm not a developer myself, but they have that basic framework there, so it shouldn't take as long for the next time. And I really hope they do continue it.
Me too. I can't wait. So in summary, F1 2021 is out tomorrow if you've paid extra money and are buying it digitally. And it's out on the 16th for regular punters and physical editions. And we both really recommend, if you buy the game, play Breaking Point first.
Yes.
Soak it in and finish that entire mode. Then jump into multiplayer, all the driver career or your pre-order icons that you may or may not have, which are all interesting and really good. And also on the Traction.gg website and Traction YouTube channel, there's a lot on F1 2021 about the other stuff as well.
Yes, so there's a lot coming.
There's a huge amount on the way as well. So this might be when the review goes live and this podcast go live, but we've got a huge amount of content coming up as well. So how to comparing things, all sorts of stuff. So if you're new or to the game, or you've played the previous ones, everything you need to know is on traction.gg on the website, traction.gg on social media, or traction.gg on YouTube. I think that's just about it, Rich. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for listening. Join us next time.